Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. Happy Independence Day for all of you people up in the United States, and a belated Happy Canada Day for all the Canadians on the call. Welcome to the call today. Usually whenever I've been doing these calls every Saturday, I've been interviewing someone, and then the last 10 or 15 minutes, we leave it open for questions. But the problem is, I have so many questions, I can't get to them in the allotted time slot of 1 hour. So I thought I would devote this call mostly to just answering your questions, so that way everybody can get their questions answered. But before I get to questions, I will have some announcements to make. If you think you're going to have a question, you can go ahead and press star 6 right now to be put in line to answer so that we can answer your question. There's been a lot of emails that have come in, and we've also gotten phone calls in the office every single day asking, when's the airport going to open? When's the airport going to open? The current information that we have is that the airport is scheduled to open on July 23rd. Now, when I say the airport, that's Tacoma International, the big airport that's in Panama City where all the flights come in from all over the world. I've just been hearing some information today that they may start doing some domestic flights at that same time, but I don't know yet if they're going to have domestic flights. But currently, the airport is scheduled to open on July 23rd. What we don't have is we don't have detailed information about what, if any, the rules are going to be for people that are coming into the country. I would assume that they're going to require some kind of a quarantine, but they haven't announced that yet. They may even only let people come in from certain countries, but they haven't announced that yet. They may require people to have a COVID test before they can come in, but we don't know that either. Unfortunately, Panama is notorious for announcing about a week before what the rules are going to be. So back when we first got went into quarantine in March, they told us that the airport was going to be closed for 30 days. And then that would have been had an opening about April the 22nd. About a week before April 22nd, they said, no, it's too soon. It's not going to open until May. Then about a week before it was going to open in May, they said, no, it's going to open in June. So I hope that they don't say that same thing in July, that they say it's just too soon and we're going to have to wait until August. The reason I think that they might not wait is because the airlines like Copa Airlines, United Airlines, American Airlines, they're all screaming saying, we got to get back to work or we're going to go out of business. So it's a delicate balance between keeping the economy and the businesses going and protecting everybody's safety. And you can't just completely stop travel. People want to move to Panama. People have made plans. They've been on my tour already. They've already made plans. They got their paperwork ready to move here. So hopefully we'll know about a week before July 23rd, which would put it at about July 15th, exactly what the plans are going to be. And at that time, they will. I'll let you know by sending out an email. Some other things that are important to know is that even if they open up the airport on July 23rd, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can start doing tours again immediately whenever the airport opens up, because we have to rely on the hotels that we use being open, restaurants being open. Currently, we're not even allowed to travel in between provinces. Province is like a state. So I live in the province of Chiriquí province, and I'm not allowed to leave this province. If someone lives in Los Santos province, nobody can go in there and nobody can go out for any reason. So until all those other things are lifted, it would be impossible for us to start doing tours. We have to wait till everything opens up much more. I've sent out previous emails that has a schedule of when things are going to open up. It has 6 different blocks, and it says in each block certain things are going to open up. We're currently only in block 2, and it wouldn't be until the end of block 6 that we would be able to start doing tours. So just because the airport opens up on July 23rd, assuming that it will, it doesn't mean that we can immediately start doing tours. We have to wait till everything opens up. We also want to make sure our number one priority is your safety and also the safety of our staff and the safety of our driver and everybody that's involved. We want to make sure that it's a safe environment. So that's another reason that we would wait and do tours until we felt that it was very safe for everyone that was coming on the tour. But also we've always had safety protocols on our bus. We have a big 40-passenger bus, but we don't put 40 people on the bus. In the morning, before everybody gets on the bus, our driver thoroughly disinfects everything that could possibly be touched. It's disinfected. They've already sent out guidelines for a bus on how many people can be on it, and it's going to be less people than we had on previous tours, so we're going to go by all the guidelines that Panama puts out. They've also required us to have a health committee with written rules and guidelines on what we're going to do. So we're going to take temperatures of people before they get on the bus, and that'll happen every single day. They haven't said yet if we're going to have to have people wear masks. I hope not, because it would be very hard for me to standing up in front of the bus, talking on a microphone and answering questions and educating you about moving in Panama if I have a mask on. It would be less enjoyable for you as well. So they may require us to wear masks when we're outside of the bus, but I don't think they're going to require us to wear masks inside the bus. At this point, we just don't know. But whatever the rules and the guidelines are that MENSA, which is our health department here in Panama, whatever they put out, we're certainly going to follow those at the very minimum, and then we'll have additional safety guidelines of our own. We also, even starting back in January, before there was any kind of a shutdown, we have hand sanitizer for everybody. We have some disinfecting wipes for everybody to use on the bus. So we're doing everything that we can to make the bus as clean and as safe for all of you as possible. And that, but we just have to wait and see what the Panama is going to tell us that we have to do, and then we'll probably take it up a couple of notches more than that to make it extra safe for you. One of the other things that we're going to start doing once the borders open up and once we feel that it's safe is I know some of you are going to be concerned about getting on a bus with 12 or 15 other people. I think 15 would be the maximum that we would have on our 40-passenger bus. But some of you would rather not. You're going to have to get on an airplane to get here. You're going to be on an airplane with a lot of other people. But when you get here and you're exploring Panama, some of you might would prefer to do a group tour so you can interact with all the group, but some of you might would prefer to have a private tour where it's just you and a tour guide, or maybe two people and a tour guide. Panama's already set out guidelines that in a vehicle, like in a taxi, there can be the taxi driver and two other people, but they can't pack it in like sardines like they used to on taxis here. So there has to be guidelines. And if we also have a van, if we were to use our van, then we'd have a limit of four people that could be in a van. So once they open up the borders and once we feel it's safe, we're also going to be offering private tours for those people that would prefer not to go on a group tour. A lot of you don't know this, but when we first started doing the tours back in 2010, and 2011 all the way to 2012, about the middle of 2012, we only did private tours. We didn't have a website. We didn't advertise group tours. We didn't do any of those things. I only did private tours that would have four, maximum of six to eight people on the tour. So we're going to start offering those private tours again. Even though we haven't done that since 2012, we're going to bring that back and start offering private tours. And the way that we envision that that's going to be is that some of you already know that you want to move to Vulcan, or you know you want to move to Las Tablas, or you know you want to move to Coronado. So it'll be a smaller tour, maybe 3 days, 5 days at the most, that'll focus on particular areas. Or we can have a bigger 7-day tour that would cover the whole country like we do with our other tour. And instead of us specifying what the dates are going to be for these private tours, you tell us when you want to come to Panama. So the private tours are perfect for people that, for one thing, our tours are sold out until like August or September of next year, but those are certain dates that you would have to come. Sometimes those dates just don't work out for one reason or another. So with these private tours, we're going to have certain dates that you can select from, but you can also say, hey, none of those dates work. I want to come in on this day and stay till that day, and can you accommodate us? With our private tours, we'll absolutely be able to do all of those things. And once we know the borders are open and we feel that it's safe, that's when we'll put out the information about our private tours, and that's when we'll have the dates for the private tours. But we don't want to start taking reservations for the private tours until we know for sure that the borders are going to be open. I'm sure we'll be doing tours in 2021 next year, so we're taking reservations for 2021. But these private tours could happen as early as August, perhaps. But I don't want to start taking reservations for those until I know absolutely sure that the borders are going to be open, our hotels are going to be open, and that it's going to be safe for you to be traveling throughout the country. Your safety is our number one concern. So we haven't done a private, last time we did a private tour was in 2012. It's been 8 years since we've done private tours, but we're going to start bringing those back. And I think that a lot of you will appreciate the private tour not being with a group. And then I wanted to make a, I've got notes here on the other things I wanted to talk about. We do have a waiting list. So on the tours that are sold out, if you go to our website and click on the link that says book a tour, at the very top of that page, there's a small link. And I've told my son, who does my website work, he needs to make it better, easier to find. But there's a link that says get on the backup list. So you can go there to get on the backup list of one of the other tours. Even though our tours are showing sold out for August and September, October, November of 2020, we do probably have some spaces available on some of those dates, but we don't want to take any reservations, once again, until we know that the borders are going to be open, that the provinces are going to be open, hotels are going to be open, and that we feel that it's safe for us to start doing tours again for your safety. So you can get on the waiting list for one of our group tours by just getting on that list. When we get an opening, well, when we start doing tours again and we know we have an opening, we will let you know usually at least 30 days in advance, definitely 15 days in advance, so that you can make plans and let us know if you want to come or not come on that particular date. So I encourage you to get on our backup list if you're interested in some of the other tour dates. Now, when you go to the area for the backup list, it says, which tour would you like to be on? So you can pick all of them, or you can just pick, oh, I only want to come in September or October, or I only want to come in December. So you can pick the specific dates that you're most interested in, and then we'll notify you if we get an opening for that. And then I wanted to make just one other announcement before I start getting into your questions. Because our tours are sold out so far in advance, and because of the pandemic, we created a product called the Online Panama Relocation Guide. And the Online Panama Relocation Guide, it has all of the same information that you would get on a tour, but you can get instant access to it, and you can start learning everything that you need to know to move here. You're going to learn, get information about all the different cities, the pros and the cons. I don't sugarcoat it. You're going to get information about how to get your pet here, how to find a rental, the right questions to ask. You're going to have a checklist of things that you need to find out before you ever rent a property. Immigration attorneys, the best property managers and real estate agents that we know are honest, because I have to say, unfortunately, some of them are not so honest here in Panama. But the ones we refer you to, we know they're honest, or they wouldn't be on our list. So it has all the information that you need. I am working on another surprise that I'll have for you next Saturday. It's going to be a new addition to the online guide that'll be available, and it's already included in it. But I want to make a special offer for for anybody that purchases the online guide between now and Monday night at midnight, you get a free 30-minute consultation with me. It's included with the online guide. So anybody that purchases it today through Monday at midnight, you'll get a free 30-minute consultation. Now, let's say that you've purchased the online guide, and it sounds really good, and you know what to do, but you'd still kind of like to go on a tour, whether it's a private tour or whether it's a whether it's going to be one of our regular tours. You're going to get a discount off of, if you take a regular tour, it's going to be a $200 discount off of one of our regular group tours. And if you sign up for one of our private tours, you get your full $595 is refunded if you take one of the private tours. So either way, you can do the tour, the online guide all by yourself, and come here and check out Panama all by yourself. You can do the Panama relocation tour with a group of like-minded people, and it'll be a smaller group than what we've done in the past, or you can do a private tour. So we have a lot of different ways that we can help you decide what to do about moving here, and we'll hold your hand. And one of the things that is unique that we offer is that whenever you do one of our tours, whether it's a private tour or the Panama relocation tour, the last day of the tour is not the last day of the tour. We're still going to be there. You're still going to have questions. You're still going to need some hand-holding. And so we're going to be there for you before you move, when you're in the middle of moving, and after you get here, you're going to have questions about different things. So we're still going to be there the whole time to help you with that move. So those are the main things that I wanted to announce. And now I'm going to get to your questions. Once again, if you have a question, all you need to do is press *6, and then you will be able, I'm going to go to questions right now. Okay, David, go right ahead.
Thanks so much for your weekly calls, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. The question I have is this. What are the top three reasons when you find couples, single people, whatever, they move to Panama, everything hunky-dory, kids in school, everything is great, life is grand. But what would be the top three reasons why they have to go back to their country?
So it depends on, there would be different answers for different age groups. If it's someone that's retired that's moved here, there's the two main reasons that people move back is either because they have parents back in Canada or back in the United States that are having some serious health problems and they just need to go back and help out mom and dad through these difficult times, or they personally have some serious health problems. And even though that they could get it taken care of here, they just want to be closer to family. For example, back in 2017, my husband got really sick, and he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he just wanted to be close to the kids, and the kids were back in Texas. So he went back, you know, we went back to Texas. And so those are the big reasons. It's usually health-related. For people that move here that have children that don't already have some kind of a source of income, if they think they're going to get a job, you're probably mistaken. It's especially now with the pandemic, because so many people are unemployed everywhere, it'd be very tough to just move here and think you're going to get a job. Because they have a ratio here that 90% of all employees at a company have to be Panamanian, only 10% can be foreigners. So it'd be very hard to get a job. So unless people have a good source of income already, that they're doing remote work or they have some kind of an online business to support themselves, some people move back because they came here and 6 months they've been looking for a job and they haven't found one yet, so they finally just go back and move in mom and dad's basement or something until they get back on their feet again. So those are the big reasons.
All right, thank you so much.
Let me throw in that there's probably one other reason, especially with couples. With couples, sometimes whenever they move down here, one of the couples The ideal situation is that if you're thinking about moving to Panama and you're in a partnership or if you're married, both people need to come to check it out to make sure that it's okay. And if so, whenever people move here and they're in a relationship, it sometimes one person absolutely loves Panama and the other person hates it. Or one person loves the beach and the other person hates the beach. They want to live in the mountains. So either there's got to be some compromise there, or sometimes it ends up that one person leaves and one person stays.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so
okay.
much.
Okay. You're welcome. Next question. I believe it's Alan. Go ahead.
Hey. Yes, it is. Hi, Jackie. This is Alan from your May 2018 tour. And I hope you and all of your team are doing well. It's great to have
great.
A minute or two with you. So my question, I have a sneaking suspicion some of the information you gave earlier, which thank you so much for all the detailed information, I'm thinking my question might fall into that category of things we don't know. But here's my question, and I'm sure there's others on this call that, you know, that probably have the same. I just retired, moved to Florida to be close to my family for a while, and my original plan was to be here 30 or 60 days and then get out of here and get to Panama. My question now is, in light of everything that's going on, for those of us on this call that are ready, we haven't started yet, but we are ready to start the process, what does that look like? Are the attorneys taking on new clients? Are all the government offices reopened that have to be opened? You know, what would our process look like, if there even is one, for those of us that are ready to get started?
Yeah, immigration just opened up a couple of weeks ago, and so the attorneys are working on processing visa applications for people that are already in country. Some people have their temporary visa, and they were just waiting on their permanent visa. I know people that have picked up their permanent visa in the last week. So the process, if you're thinking about coming here, but there's a caveat to the whole thing, is to contact an immigration attorney and let them know when you'd like to come and start gathering up your documents that you'll need to get a residency visa. The problem is that they say the airport's going to open up on July 23rd, but I honestly don't know for sure that it will. It might be August 23rd.
Yeah,
but the good
thing is, my confusion.
So that's the problem in the whole thing. But even if you contact an attorney and you said, I want to come to Panama before the end of the year to get my visa, you could go ahead and start getting your documents together, because it's going to take probably 30 days to get at least 2 weeks, if not 30 days, to get your documents together, depending on which visa that you're going to get. And then your documents are good for 6 months. Once you get them, they're going to be good for 6 months. Now, Panama's done something very unique. And of course, the pandemic's something we've never dealt with in our lifetime, but Panama understands the complications. Some people had their paperwork ready, they were going to be on the next plane and come down here and get their visa, and then the pandemic happens. So what they've said is that anybody that already has their documents together, but their documents have already expired or they're about to expire, remember, they're only good for 6 months, they said, no problem. We're going to say that all those documents are good until October 31st. And they're being very flexible about the documents. So even though that the rules say they can't be more than 6 months old, they'll give you an extension. So for some reason, the airport doesn't open up at the end of July or in August, but you already have your documents ready. So long as you could get here by the end of the year, and I'm sure that the airport will open by the end of the year, then you'll be just fine.
Okay.
Now, when you say all documents
have a shelf life, I know the background, the FBI background check, but is that true of all other documents that we have to get apostilled, I think, if I'm pronouncing that correctly?
Yes. So if you're married, you need to get a certified copy of your marriage certificate. That has to be apostilled. If you're applying for the pensionado visa, you need proof that you have at least $1,000 a month in lifetime income, like from Social Security. your couple, yep. 1,250. So you need that document. It has to be apostilled or authenticated. So all of the documents that are necessary. If you're doing the Friendly Nation visa, you only need the National Criminal Report. But it just depends on which visa you're going to get. But
I'd be doing the Pensionado would be the one I'd be doing.
Yeah. I would not worry about that. You get your all the documents, and then Panama doesn't open up the borders, and then you got to start all over again with a new set of documents. I wouldn't worry about that because Panama's been very lenient with moving the date and moving the date on how long they'll accept them.
Hmm. Okay, so then that's the case. My next step would be to establish a line of communication with one of your recommended attorneys. I know when I was there, it was Myra. I don't know if she is still
we have two other really, really good attorneys that we recommend. And if you're not planning to live close to Panama City, I would honestly recommend that you use one of the other attorneys. And
that's exactly what I want.
I'm going to be
somewhere between David and Boquete.
Yeah, well, then you want to be using the immigration office in David because you're going to get in and out of it in about 30 minutes, whereas you're going to be 4 hours sitting in the immigration office in Panama City. With the pandemic going on, the last thing you want to do is be in a room with a lot of people for that length
of
time.
Right.
But if you just send me an email, then I can give you information about who else we recommend. But
oh, that'd be perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good to talk to you again, Alan.
Hey, thank you so much. It was just great. I really appreciate it. You take care. Be safe.
You too. You too. Let's see. Next caller, area code 403. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I'm just reflecting on something that you just said about your documents being authenticated, like to prove that you have income. What does that mean, authenticated? Like if we just show our T4 slips or something for our...
No, see, this is the thing is the documents that you're going to have, your National Criminal Report, your Social Security letter, pension letter from your company, those are all documents from a United States company or from a Canadian company or from a German company or whatever, the German government. So it's all documents from a different country. Panama will not recognize those documents unless they either have what's called an apostille, which comes from the State Department, or an authentication by the Panamanian consulate. So you don't just bring your documents down here. They have to be either authenticated or apostilled.
Okay, so those would be the documents, but we bring them to the attorney and or send them.
No.
Ahead of
no. Not at all. You have to get the documents together, and then you have to get the apostille or authentication in your country before you bring them to Panama.
Who does that?
The apostille is done by the state. What country do you live in?
We're Canadian.
Okay, so it's done. They don't have an apostille in Canada because they didn't sign up for the Hague Convention. So you'd have to go with the authentication, and that's done by the Consulate of Panama. And there's one, I believe, in every province in Canada.
Okay.
The Panamanian Consulate in Canada. Okay?
Okay. You're writing this down, honey, right? Okay, I'm sorry. The other question that I have is we're staying on for 6 months after we come in October. And so we will have one extra piece of luggage that will be checked, you know, our carry-on plus a few things that we want to bring in this check-on bag. Is it okay to have that and just leave it on the bus?
No, we won't have room on the bus, but we have other ways that we can get it to our final destination for the tour, so it'll be waiting for you when you get to the final destination.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Next question is Daryl. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. First, let me thank you and your son and daughter for all the help and patience they show. We were originally coming down in September and had to change our tour date. And then we changed to June 23rd. And of course that got, that got canceled.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. But anyway, we are definitely looking forward to maybe a private tour because we know where we want to live and we want to be in Panama by the end of the year. But one question that we had was in the online guide, it states about a $45 charge for making transfers to the bank. To avoid that, does that mean that in our case with Social Security, we should actually have our Social Security checks go directly into a Panamanian bank account?
You have a choice. You could have it direct deposited into your Panamanian bank account, and then there's not going to be any charge. But the better thing to do is if once you set up your Panama bank account, you can actually deposit a check from a U.S. bank into your Panama bank account for up to $3,000 per month, and there's no charge at all.
Okay.
And if you think you're going to need more than that, just get two Panama bank accounts.
Okay.
And it could even be at the same bank, and then you could do two deposits of $3,000 and just write a check.
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better because then we wouldn't have to change the banks where we would have our Social Security gap going at this point. I feel a lot better about that. And it wouldn't have to be certified or anything?
Nope, just a check. You make the check out to yourself. You endorse it on the back, and you put for deposit only in your account number, and you deposit it into your account. It does take about 5 days for it to clear, but there's no fee at all for that to happen.
Okay, great. And, we're looking forward to the either getting on to we went on the waiting list, but we're also looking forward to the dates for the private tour. Like I said, we know we want to either be in Boquete or Volcan, so But thank you very much.
As soon as we know more, we'll let you know more. I wish I could give everybody a definitive date, but everything is just up in the air right now.
Yeah.
Not just here in Panama, but in the whole world.
Yeah.
We just have to go with the flow.
Yeah, our biggest concern is if Panama lets Americans in with this mess that's going on right now.
I think they will. I think they will because there's so many Americans that live here. There's so many Americans that have businesses and have second homes here. So I don't think that they will ban them, but they may require a 7-day or a 14-day quarantine when you arrive. And if they do the quarantine, of course, we wouldn't be able to start doing tours yet. But at least those of you that know where we couldn't do our big group tours, but we could. There's other things we can do to help you get settled.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. And we're really looking forward to meeting you.
You're welcome. Look forward to meeting you, too.
Okay.
Our next caller is Ricky from the Philippines.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. First, I wanted to tell you thank you for the online guide. It's a wealth of information, and we're really enjoying it.
Good, good. I'm glad you like it.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Now, I've got a few questions, and you already hit on one. So the immigration office in David is open, and we can get everything processed there now?
Well, you can get your temporary visa processed there and your multi-entry stamp if you want one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, you still have to go to Panama City to pick up your permanent visa, but they're working on changing that. I think that it'll be changed pretty soon where you can do the whole process right there in David. And it's not ever crowded. You get in and out real fast.
Okay, that's great.
Plus, the attorney we use in David is more affordable than the attorney in Panama City.
Oh, that's good. Now, with all the expats you know and your life in Boquete, do you know any, like here in the Philippines, I don't drive a car, I love it, and do you know any there that just have a driver? Or how much does it cost if you want to have a driver for a day to take you to David and do your thing and bring you back home?
I do know a lot of people here that do not have a car. And they do it two different ways. Some people will just take the bus from Boquete down to David, and that costs $1.75. And then they do their shopping, and they take the bus back up for another $1.75. Some people will take the bus down, then take an Uber back up, or some people have a private driver. Private driver is going to cost you about $30 to $40. So it's not real affordable.
Okay.
But you also make friends with somebody that has a car, and they say, hey, I'm going to PriceSmart. You want to go with me? And you just hook a ride.
There you go. Hey, I know a lot of rentals there, a lot of properties there, the trash pickup is part of it, but how do you all deal with trash? Here, there's no way to deal with trash. It's not like in the U.S. where, hey, once a week they come and grab it. What do they do there?
Once a week they come and grab it. Unless you live in a gated community, then it's twice a week they come and grab it. So all trash has to be bagged. There's special bins outside of your house or at the top of your driveway, like for me, where you put your trash, and they come every Monday to pick mine up. And they have one of those fancy trucks that squishes everything.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Now,
look forward to seeing you soon. And next caller is area code 515. Go right ahead.
Yes, Jackie. I hope you remember. It was last week. I had just asked a couple of questions, and then I got bumped off. I tried to get back on, and I still couldn't get back on the clip.
When we had the call last week, it was pouring down rain and lightning and thunder outside. So we were having some, both where I was and where Mike was. So we were having some static on the line, and some people got dropped. So I apologize for that, but can't control the weather. So what's your question?
The questions were the ones I asked last week. The one was, I think Mike was going to answer it. And it was about rental property in the town, the province that he lived.
In Punta Pacifica, where he lives, you can get a two-bedroom for $900 to $1,000, and it's going to be really nice, North American style. So it's pretty more expensive. Three bedrooms going to be about $1,500.
Okay. And you were going to answer the other part of the question, and that was no matter where you're living in Panama, if you're living, I think it would be west of Panama City,
actually,
do you have to go through Panama City to get to the airport?
So there are actually communities that are east of Panama City as well, and the airport is east of the city. So, you have to go through Panama City to get to the airport, unless you fly from far western Panama over there. But if you're in Punta Pacifica, it wouldn't make any sense because you just go across the bridge and you're right in Panama City. So, yep, you got to go through the city. And I would say don't even try to drive it on your own. Get a driver. Call an Uber.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Next caller, area code 605. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey.
I've got a couple questions for you. Number one, vaccines. Most expats, do they get vaccines for yellow fever or anything else? Or what percent do you think is the case? No?
No, nobody.
Nobody. Okay. That's the only question I had.
Okay. And vaccines are not required. If you come in from Brazil, then they do require, if you're coming in from Brazil, then they require a yellow fever vaccine. But from any other countries, there are no vaccines are required to come in, and no vaccines are required when you live here.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if anybody has a question, all you need to do is press *6 and you'll be put in line to ask your question. If you could try to limit it to just one question, then I'll be able to get through all the people that have a question today. So next caller is area code 917. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Jackie. I have a question regarding when I got bumped because of the COVID for the June tour, and I rescheduled back in December. When would you suggest I try to book an airline ticket to get into Panama in December?
I wouldn't suggest that you book an airline ticket to come into Panama until we know for sure that the airport is open. Once we know the airport's open, then that would be the time to book it.
And in December, what type of clothes should one bring down there?
So December is actually kind of our summer. It's the beginning of summer. So at the beach, you just need shorts and T-shirt and flip-flops are just fine. Panama City, you don't want to wear flip-flops because you need to have good, sturdy tennis shoes on. Up in the mountains, the daytime temperatures are going to be mid-70s, maybe up to 80 degrees, so you might need a light jacket and some jeans or long pants.
And a carry-on and a knapsack is fine.
That's fine, yep.
Okay, well, thank you. I have more questions, but I'll get you another time.
Okay, thank you very much. Next caller, air code 813. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Ernie from Florida.
Hi.
I wanted to say, hey, I'm already living in Panama. And my question is it difficult to bring your pets back and forth from the States and back for, let's say, for an extended visit?
Yes. Did you bring pets with you when you moved down here?
No. I haven't gone yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd already moved to Panama. So, yes, it's a complicated process and a time-sensitive process to get pets into Panama. And then you have to go through that whole process to get them out of the country also. They have to have certain shots. They have to have an international health certificate that's certified by the Agriculture Department, not to mention, the cost of getting it on the plane. And the health certificate has to be done 10 days before you're flying. So,
right, so.
If you're going back and forth and back and forth with pets, all that has to be done every single time. And between the cost of the vet visits and the authentication of documents and the seat for the place for your pet, you're looking at about $500, $600, $700, depending on the airline, every time you take them.
Okay, so then the fact that they have already been seen by a vet in both places doesn't hold over time.
No, it's just a one-time thing. It's for one time of transporting your pets. Even if you moved here and a month later you decided you needed to go back for something and you wanted to take your pet with you, you'd have to go through that process all over again.
Okay. That's not what I wanted to hear, but thank you.
Okay. It's better to know instead of finding out later the hard way.
Yeah, yep. What I was going to become was a instead of a snowbird, a hurricane bird, where I would leave Florida for hurricane season. And
there you go.
But with pets, it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, air code 616. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Chris calling from Michigan. I was scheduled for your April tour, my wife and I, and now we're scheduled for October, so we're looking forward to our trip.
Great.
Hopefully we can get there then. So my question is, the weather in Boquete area, my wife seems to think that there's a lot of mist and fog around, like it's real wet and damp there. Can you kind of describe that? And then just related, I know you only want one question, but it seems like Volcan is just a little more rainier than Boquete, even though they're like similar altitudes. So that was my kind of question there.
So they both get, Volcan and Boquete get the same amount of rain. But I have to tell you that within Volcan and within Boquete, there are 21 different microclimates just in Boquete. Within the 21 different microclimates, some places get 30% more rain than another place in the very same town. I can sit from my house on the Volcancito side, which is the western side of Boquete, and I can look over at the Jaramillo side, and I can see it's just pouring down rain over there. Yet I have blue skies and sunshine where I'm living. So, and it's you know, a couple miles away. I can be at the top of the hill where I live, and by the time I drive down, it's raining down at the bottom of the hill. So the weather's different in different places. Some places get a lot more rain and mist and are in the clouds than other places. So the answer to your question is it just depends on where you live. Some places get a lot more sunshine than other places. Some places are in a cloud forest. Some places get a bahariki and high winds, and other places don't.
So if we wanted to avoid mist and damp, there would be a location for us in that area?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Next caller, air code 281. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is John from Tyler, Texas. How are you?
Good. Hi, John.
Hey, I went ahead and booked my tour for September of 2021, and I wanted to know if thank you. I wanted to know if I will have enough time during my tour to be able to set up several rental viewings. Because since I'm already going to Panama on the tour, I would like to stay 4 to 5 months.
Yes. Answer is yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
First of all, you're going to see you'll see several rentals every day during the tour, 2 to 4 rentals every day during the tour in the different areas we visit. But then if you're going to, so you'll get to see some things then. And then when we're, there's certain days during the tour that we give you some afternoon time off, a couple of hours on your own, that we can have some viewing set up for you to go check out stuff.
Okay, that's awesome. And I promise I'm not trying to turn this into 2 questions, but will you still cover my return flight from David to Panama City, being that I'm going to stay 4 to 5 months?
Absolutely. Yeah, we still pay for your flight. You just tell us what day you want to fly, or we can give you a $100 rebate, and then you can book it whenever you're ready to go back, either way. But
okay,
even
perfect.
If you're staying 1 week or 6 months after the tour, we still pay for your flight to go back to Panama City.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And it's hot
you're
as
welcome.
Hell here, and I can't wait to get there.
I remember. I used to live close to Tyler. It's probably like 105, 110. I remember my air conditioner was going all the time. Well, it is right now. It is 73. And right here in Boquete, I'm looking at the temperature right now, 73 degrees. No air conditioner.
You're so lucky.
Needed.
You're blessed. You're blessed. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Okay, next caller is Lisa, I believe. Area code 734.
Hi, Jackie. My husband and I are scheduled for your January 2021 tour, so we've got our fingers crossed. And this is just a simple question. Are there very many Protestant churches in the, say, in the province of Cherokee? Or do I need to be more specific? Yes.
No, yes, there are several Protestant churches, even a private school, a Protestant private school for expats.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 712. Area code 712, go right ahead with your question.
That might be me. It's Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, it's your turn.
Sorry if I'm getting feedback. My question is, while I'm in Canada, which websites can I watch to gain a handle on the Panama real estate market, specifically Boquete and Volcan?
Well, I can tell you that right now there's not much of anything that's on there because real estate offices are all closed. They're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to go into the office. They're not allowed to show rentals. They're not allowed to show properties for sale. So until they, and it's not until I think block 4, whenever they can do it, and we're only in block 2. So until that happens, you're not going to see hardly anything at all. But your best bet is to go to some of the Facebook groups, not websites or real estate agent websites, but some of the Facebook groups. If you're interested in Boquete, there's one specifically for Boquete rentals and real estate for sale. And they have something similar for Coronado. They have something similar for Volcan. So Facebook is going to be a much more updated information than anything else.
And a quick second question about bringing precious metals from North America to Panama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in our online guide that we sell, in the online guide, we have detailed information about bringing in precious metals and recommendations on several different vaults where you can, well, there's three different vaults in there where you can store your precious metals. And then they have a customs broker that can help you get everything in without having to pay taxes on any of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 804.
Hey, Jackie, this is Carrie in Virginia.
Hi.
Hey, I'm booked on the August 2021 tours. My question's about visas. I'm 57. I want to retire in the next year or two, but I won't have a pension until I'm 62. So I'm wondering what other visas. I don't want to start a corporation. I don't want to start a business with actual employees. I was wondering if there's another visa option. I saw something about forming a corporation, but I didn't know if I had to have employees with that too.
No. So if you don't have a pension that you're already drawing on, you would not be able to qualify for the Pensionado visa. Your best, most affordable option would be to get the Friendly Nation visa. And that one, you don't have to prove any kind of income other than you have to put $5,000 in a Panama bank account. But the day you get your visa, you can start spending that money. You do have to set up a corporation, but it's just a document. It's just a piece of paper. You don't have to set up a business. You don't have to have employees. You don't have to do any of those things. And most people, after a year or after they get their permanent visa, they just get rid of their corporation because they don't even need it. Or you might want to keep your corporation if you think you're going to buy real estate later, because many people take title to real estate in a corporation here.
Okay, so and I'll be able to convert from a Friendly Nations to a Pensionado visa when I have.
No, you won't need to. There's no reason to convert from a Friendly Nation to a Pensionado visa, because with the Friendly Nation visa, you still get all of those discounts, the 25% off of airfare, 25% off of utility bills, 20% off at restaurants. You still get all those discounts. The only catch is when you get the Friendly Nation visa, you don't get those discounts until you are a certain age. For women, you have to be 55. For men, you have to be 60. So those are the rules. The reality is if you walk into a pharmacy and if you got a little bit of gray hair, they're just going to give you that discount. The only thing would be airline. You know, you're not going to be able to get the discount on airline until you turn 60.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is James. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, can you hear me fine?
I can hear you good.
Oh, good. Okay, I got a new headset, so I wasn't sure. I just wanted to ask, I totally want to do that whole cheesy movie thing of riding around in a foreign country on a moped. and I was wondering, how can you find one of those there like we do here? You know, if I want something, I just go look on Craigslist or something. How could I find something like that? Or another thing similar to that, like if I wanted to get into kiteboarding and I wanted to look up where I could find a kiteboard, how do I do that, buying person to person like that?
Oh, you're talking about buying something or just renting something while you're here?
Like buying something, because my family and I plan to move to Boquete and whatnot.
Okay.
And I was thinking, you know, if we need to buy something here or there, you know, I would rather reach out to locals than go to a store.
You can find it here. So once again, go back to Facebook and look on the marketplace, and you can put on there what you're looking for, and you'll get contacted by a lot of people, or just look on the marketplace for Panama and see what all is available. I wouldn't restrict it to just the Boquete area. You need to broaden out for the whole country on what you're looking for. But the Facebook marketplace for Panama would be the best place to find something like that. There's also a website called Encanta 24, and you may be able to find something on there, but Facebook marketplace would be a better price.
Right. And do you need a license to operate the moped? Do you have to, like, get it titled and all that kind of stuff as well?
Yes. Any of the vehicle that you're riding on the roads, it has to be inspected every year. It has to have a license plate, and you have to have a driver's license to drive it. And as a foreigner, you can only drive for 90 days on your foreign
right.
driver's license in the country. Then you have to get a Panama driver's license. So you'll need to have a Panama driver's license.
Does that include an M endorsement like we have to here, or is
yep.
that a separate thing? Oh wow. Oh,
yep.
okay. So going the whole nine yards. Okay. All righty. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Everybody take care and stay safe.
Okay. Next caller, I believe it's either Elizabeth or Kari. I'm not sure.
Elizabeth, it's the first name.
Okay, there we go.
It's just a simple gardening question. You've mentioned, for instance, that sweet corn is not available and, of course, you're growing it in your greenhouse. I'm wondering, are you importing the seeds? And if so, are there problems bringing seeds from the U.S. into Panama?
Actually, sweet corn is available. I was in downtown Boquete yesterday, and there was a guy with a whole truck full of it selling sweet corn, and I bought some, and it was absolutely delicious. And it was 12 ears for a dollar, 12 ears of corn for a dollar. So you can buy it here, but I just import my seeds because I want all non-GMO seeds in my garden, so I get them from Renee's Garden or Johnny Seeds.
Yeah, I'm a big territorial person where I live, so it's like I want to bring in my own Romano bean seeds and stuff. So
yeah, you can. I just order them and have them shipped in, no problem.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I think Virgil is the next caller. Go ahead.
Hey, hello, Jackie. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Yeah, my name is Virgil, of course, and my wife Diana. We are actually planning to move there a few years due to retiring thing. But my question was, I know you push Boquete quite a bit, and we were looking at Panama, and I was just wondering if there's a area in just out of Panama, maybe hour and a half away, that's close to the Panama that we can rent.
There's some really good areas that are just a little bit west or just outside of Panama City. It just depends on what your budget is. Some areas are going to be more expensive, like Punta Pacifica is pretty expensive, about $1,000 a month for a rental there. But there's other places. There's this one beach community that's called Playa Dorado, and you can get a pretty nice two-bedroom, two-bath house, pretty new construction, for about $500, $600 a month there. And it has a little lake, and it's right on the beach. So there's plenty of residential communities that are right outside of Panama City. It just depends on what you're looking for. And that would be west of Panama City. There's also places that are east of Panama City, too.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, you know, we're coming from the Bahamas, so we want to stay out of the water if possible.
Okay. Yeah, you probably love that Playa Dorado area then.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I've been listening for quite some time on your conference call, and I really enjoyed the information that you passed out, and I do appreciate everything that y'all, information that we received. Looking forward to meeting you in another, well, if this thing gets lifted up in a few months, of course, we should be there in November. If not, we look forward to next year. But I will definitely hit you up and let's send you an email. I did send you one today. I don't know if we'll get any answer on that probably between now and next week, but I did send you some information in the email. But, yeah,
okay.
So that's my question for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next caller is Brad. Go ahead. I believe it's Brad. I have your line unmuted. Go ahead. Hello.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yep.
Okay. Hey, I've lived in Boquete before. My question is, I already have my cedula, so when I am able to come back, are we going to be able to travel between, like, say, Chiriqui and Veragas or Santiago, those places, freely?
Currently, the answer would be no. I don't know when they're going to open up travel in between provinces.
Okay. So that may be an issue if you do want to come back, since you're already a citizen.
Well, not that you're a citizen, but if you have your cedula, like I said at the beginning of the call, we don't know what the rules are going to be. Currently, people that live in Panama City are not allowed to leave Panama City and come into the interior of the country. People that live in Los Santos can't leave Los Santos. I can't leave Chiriquí Province. Now, I'm sure when the airport opens up that some of those other things are going to be more relaxed also. But at this time, today, you cannot travel in between provinces.
Okay, well, that makes sense since the pandemic. So I'm just trying to decide what to do once the country does open up. And
right. I would think when the airport opens up, they also open up travel in between provinces. That would seem logical to me, but this whole thing of the pandemic, there's nothing logical about it. So you can throw logic out the window. But you would think when they open up the airport that they will open up the borders, you know, for travel in between Costa Rica, and that they would also open up travel in between provinces. That's what I would think, but there's nothing set in stone on that.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That was my question.
You're welcome. Our next caller, area code 910. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I've been reading the MNSA reports, and some people are quarantining in hotels. Some are quarantining at home. Is there any indication when we come there if they allow us to go into an Airbnb to quarantine, or would you think they would make us go into a hotel?
So this is the situation with the people that are quarantined in a hotel. A good example, there was a man in Dolega that was a security guard at one of the hospitals in Dolega. He got infected with the virus, and he went home, and his wife and five children, guess what? They all got it. So now, if there's someone that is infected with the virus and they're going to go home into a family environment, they won't let them do that. They put them in their own private room in one of these what they call COVID hotels, and so that they don't spread the virus to their family members. Whenever you come into the country, they're not going to, unless you tested positive for COVID, they're not going to put you in a COVID hotel. That's only for people that have tested positive. So I do believe that they're going to allow you to go to your house or your Airbnb or whatever it is that you've had rented.
Okay, so before we come down, we should arrange for an Airbnb. So like when we get to the airport, we could go directly there.
Yes, but I would not book that yet. Don't make any arrangements for an Airbnb. Do not send anybody any money until the borders have completely opened up. And we know what the rules are, because at this point, we don't know for sure when the border's going to open up, and we don't know for sure what the rules are going to be. They might not require 14-day quarantine, which I think would be stupid, but they might not require it. So we just don't know what the rules are. So absolutely do not book an Airbnb. Even if it's for October, November, December, don't book it now. Wait until after the airport opens up before you book airplane tickets or Airbnbs or rentals or anything.
Great. Okay? Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Next caller is 404. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Terry from Atlanta. I'd like to know, I see single women coming down, and I'm a single lady. I wonder if there's any kind of roommate matching service.
We don't have, there's not, you mean during the tour or afterwards?
Well,
so during the tour?
During the tour,
so
or even
for single
after.
People that are moving down. There's not really a roommate matching service, but I can tell you that on Facebook and all the different areas, there's people that advertise that they have a private room with a private bath to rent in their home. So those situations are readily available throughout the country. I saw one just before I got on the call that was in Bocas del Toro, and it was an amazing-looking property facing the ocean. And great, they got the master bedroom, huge bathroom, big patio facing the ocean for $600 a month. It included all the utilities and everything. So if you look on Facebook, you'll find it doesn't say matchmaking service, but you'll just see people that have a room for rent in their home.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next caller is Wayne, I believe.
Yeah. Hi, Jackie. It's Wayne from Asheville.
Hi there.
Hi. I was wondering, how are emigres being received in Panama? Is it still are they still welcomed? And how are you received when you roll into these little towns with your buses full of people? Thanks a lot.
So when you mean immigrants, is somebody just passing through Panama, or do you mean people that have moved into the country?
Meaning visitors, are they getting tired of foreigners coming in and settling?
No.
And,
No, because they know that you're going to buy something from them. So, no, they're not attached. They've been used to having foreigners come into Panama for hundreds of years. So they're familiar with it. There's certainly some people, especially some older people, that wish that there was nobody but Panamanians in the whole country. But the majority of people that I know that I've talked to that are Panamanian, they're glad that there's foreigners that are coming in because it's creating new jobs for everybody, new businesses that are opening up. And so not a problem.
Cool. We just don't want to be the ugly Americans arriving. Thanks a lot.
Well, the other thing is be a nice person when you get here. Just, you know, if you're in a line and there's four people, don't start yelling saying, "Hey, why don't you get somebody else in the line?" at a cashier. So you just have to learn to go with the flow of things, and then you won't be considered an ugly American.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Sandra, I believe. Go ahead.
This is Sandra calling, and thank you, Jackie. I've just begun the process of trying to orient myself. I'm a person who likes theater and dance productions and culture, not so much a beach person. So I wonder, other than Panama City, where else might I be looking?
So Panama City is going to be your main place where they have ballet and opera and theater and movie theaters and all of those things. The majority of the action is going to be in Panama City. The only other town that has some of those things available is Boquete. In Boquete, about four times a year, we have a theater, but it's the local people that are the actors. And we have ballet a couple of times a year. We have concerts, woodwind concerts, and orchestras several times a year, International Blues and Jazz Festival, every February. So it's the other town that would have the kind of things that you're looking for.
I see. And I would imagine it's easier to make friends in Boquete than in Panama City, just because Boquete is a smaller place.
Not really.
Would
say it's not just as easy to make friends in Panama City, because in Panama City, they have something called InterNations. If you go to internations.org and then search Panama, and they organize two or three times a week little get-togethers for all the expats. So you have a way to meet people and hang out with people, wine tasting parties and other things. So it doesn't take long to have a lot of friends really, really fast wherever you live in Panama. But in Panama City, there's plenty of opportunities to meet a lot of people there, too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 214.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you. Actually, the gentleman in Florida, you answered the question for me. I wanted to know if pets were able to go in and out of the country. So
nope.
You answered the question already.
Nope.
Thank you.
Lee, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. My question is, since the borders are closed and immigration offices were closed, even though they're open now, if my temporary visa had expired in February and then the pandemic happened like shortly after, how long is that being kind of like extended to so you can get the permanent one?
You're going to have at least 6 more months after the border opens. So I wouldn't worry about it, even though your temporary visa's expired.
Oh, okay. So not 6 months from when it expires, but 6 months after the border is open.
6 months from when it expired.
Okay. All right,
they may extend that depending on when things actually do open up. When the border opens, they might extend it even longer.
Okay, so does that I guess mean that whatever penalties would have been accrued would be waived?
No, they're waiving the penalties.
They're waiving the penalties. Okay, all right, that's great. Thank you.
Uh huh. Next caller is 303.
All right. Hi, Jackie. It's Cynthia and Michael. And we have your guide and have a couple of questions. I'll keep it to the most important one. So the Social Security Administration provides proof of income for the pensionado visas. The trouble we're having is getting a signature on that document. Do any of your callers or listeners know how to go about getting that signature when that's
I have an easy solution for you. On that letter,
okay,
you can make a written statement at the bottom that says this document is accurate and true, and have that document notarized, and then by just a notary, and then from there
Perfect.
You can have it apostilled or authenticated.
Oh, that's awesome!
Oh, awesome.
That's excellent. Great. Thank you so much. That was our main question.
Okay. Hopefully you can sleep tonight, right?
Get our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Next caller is Sam. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey.
We purchased your guide, the online guide, last week, and we've been poring over it. And one of the things that we haven't found yet is about buying a car. Is it an affordable car market?
We do have information in the online guide about buying a car. And you can go to a new car dealership, used car dealership, but we really recommend that you use a broker, a car broker. You tell them how much you want to spend and what kind of car you want. They go find it to you and bring it to you for you to test drive, and they help with all the paperwork. So that's in the online guide, and that's the best way to go.
Okay,
so here's an example. Someone contacted me this week that they'd moved to Panama just 4 months ago, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything gets shut down. And the company that he had retired from contacted him and said, hey, the guy that we hired for your replacement, he is just not working out. Could we entice you into coming back to Colorado? And so they made him an offer he couldn't refuse, and they decided, because Panama is all locked down anyway, that they would just go back to work, and then when things settled down in Panama, then they'd come back. So they contacted me and asked me if I knew of anybody that would want to rent their house. And, of course, I know so many people in this country had it rented the same day. And then I said, well, what are you going to do with your car? And he said, well, we thought we'd just sell it. We were going to get a car broker to just take it, and then he could sell it later. I said, hold on, tell me about it, and I'll send out an email, and I can get it sold for you. So I did. I got it sold in a couple of hours. So here's what it was. It was a 2015 Honda CRV, like extra, extra, LXX or something like that. Then it had all the fancy, it had a roof, the little window thing up in the ceiling, and had heated seats, and had just all the fancy things, bells and whistles with it. It's 5 years old, but it had less than 20,000 miles on it, and it sold for $15,000.
Wow. Awesome.
Just to give you, and like the last car that I bought was a 2018 Hyundai Santa Fe, and it only had 3,000 kilometers on it whenever I bought it, so it's still under factory warranty, and I paid $19,000 for that. So cars cost maybe just a little bit less here than they do where you are, but they don't cost more.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 407.
Yes, my name is Albert, and I was wondering, why does a lawyer in Panama ask me to get a letter of incorporation from Lockheed Martin, whom I retired from in February. Have you heard of that before?
Oh, yes, I did. When my husband and I moved here, my husband was, he could have drawn Social Security, but he chose not to draw Social Security. So his retirement income came from Raytheon. So he had to get a letter from Raytheon, and he also had to get a letter from the third-party company that administered the pension. So he had to get a letter from both of those. So that's just the way they do it. They want to know that the company is saying that you're actually getting that pension.
Well, I'm getting them. Lockheed is the one who administered my pension as well.
Okay. But you still have to get that letter. And you also have to get something that shows that Lockheed, wherever their headquarters is, that it's a corporation that's in good standing with that state.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I know it sounds crazy and complicated, but, you know, in Panama, some of their rules make no sense at all, but it's just the way it is, and we just have to learn to go with it, even if we don't like it.
I understand. Lockheed Martin, one of the largest companies in the world.
so is Raytheon.
I had
to get it with Raytheon.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is 404 area code.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Stephanie, and I want to thank you for doing this every week. And it's finally good to talk to you. I was in Panama. Well, actually, I was in Boquete, November 2018 for a month. And I rented an SUV. And during that time, the conditions of the roads weren't that great, but they were in the middle of repairing them, and I was wondering what conditions are they now? Are they
They've been repaired. Yeah, they've been repaired. Now they're working on fixing all the sidewalks in Boquete. So
it's gonna look
different the next time you come.
Yeah. When I was at the market, the Tuesday market, a lot of people were asking me, "Have I met you yet?" But I think you were on a tour at that time.
Yeah.
I do have another question about the rentals. Most of the rentals that I've seen on your site and other sites, they are furnished. And I was wondering if there were options to have a place that's unfurnished.
So, no. If you see a place and they're renting it and it says it's furnished, they're not going to take the furniture out for you. You'll have to specifically look for something that's unfurnished, which is going to be extremely hard to find.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed. Okay.
Yep, but no, they're not going to take the furniture out. They don't have any place to put it.
Right. Okay. And one last
All right.
question. What's the process for getting on the waiting list for one of the
tours? So if you go... To get on the waiting list, if you go to PanamaRelocationTours.com, and at the very top, it says Book a Tour. If you click on Book a Tour, at the top, there's a place that says click here to get on the backup list.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is 704. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie. It's Denise.
Hey, Denise.
Hey, my question is the multi-entry stamp. Do we have, like we're coming for 6 months and then we're going to come back to the States and finish our paperwork. Would we need the multi-entry stamp before we start the process?
No. You can only get the multi-entry stamp after you get your temporary visa. So it's immediately after you get your temporary visa. When you get your temporary visa, they assume you're going to stay in Panama until you get your permanent visa. But if you want to leave Panama while you're waiting on your permanent visa, then you have to get the multi-entry stamp, and your attorney will help you with that.
Okay, great. And thank you for all your help. Debbie has been wonderful.
You're very welcome.
Have a good one.
Next caller, area code 678.
Hi, this is Twyla.
Hi.
My husband and I bought the relocation online package,
And you had mentioned earlier that if we bought the package within a certain day, I guess that we could get a 30-minute consultation.
That's
but we've
right.
We've already bought it. Can we still get the consultation?
Yeah, that is also going to, yeah, for anybody that's already bought it, they also get that consultation. But
okay.
It has to, anybody that's already bought it or anybody that buys it before midnight on Monday, they will get a free 30-minute consultation with me personally.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. We're looking forward to coming down in 2021 or 2022. So
good. The sooner the better.
Yep. Well, my husband, he has two pensions, and I have Social Security, and he's going to be getting Social Security pretty soon. So we'll have four incomes coming in. I think it'll cover
good.
Us pretty good. So
you'll do fine.
I'm just okay. One other thing on the tour. If we come on the tour, I'm disabled. I have a lot of hard time walking long distances. How much walking do we actually do on the tours?
There is quite a bit of walking on the tour. Sometimes it's walking, from a parking lot down to the beach. Sometimes it's walking to go see a rental property. We give you 1 hour to walk around two different times. We give you an hour to walk around a shopping center and check out grocery stores and pharmacies and stores that are in there. Plus just some afternoons that you'll have off to do some walking. So there is some walking involved.
Okay. Thank you.
Next caller, area code 507.
Hi, Jackie. This is Kate from Michigan. First, thank you. You've answered several of my emails, and you're so patient with me. My question is, when we order from the U.S., so once, eventually, fingers crossed, I can move to Panama with my pup to Boquete, do you use freight forwarding? Is that how people get packages to Boquete? I'm asking because he is this grain-free food. He's my baby.
Oh, you can buy grain-free food here.
For your dog. Okay.
Yeah, they have pet stores. You can get it right here. No problem.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Next caller is Scott. Go ahead.
Jackie, what kind of time frame realistically are we looking at if, say, late summer they lock Panama back down again? Is it going to be an all September through January, February again next year, locked down because of the weather, or what are you anticipating happening later?
Well, they're not going to lock down the country because of the weather, because we have pretty darn good weather all the time.
I just know later people coming in because of, the cold weather everywhere else is going to cause the
virus
again over the winter.
Yeah.
So are they going to shut borders down for international travel again?
No, I don't think so. Usually our snowbirds or people that come down from Canada and Montana and all those cold places, New York, they usually show up around December and stay till April. So I would certainly hope and think that the airport and all the borders will be open long before then.
Okay. I'm trying to tie up some things, but it's looking like it's going to probably be late September before I can get down there. And
My recommendation is don't book any flights and don't book any rentals until we know for sure that the airport is open.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Next caller is Berto. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Jackie. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Calling from Shores, Texas. And thanks so much for the information on the online relocation guide. It's wonderful. My question is about the public transportation from Volcan to David. That's basically the only question I have.
There's a bus that runs every 30 minutes.
Okay, no worries for me. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and it's like $1.85. It's less than $2.
Okay, so probably it's going to be less for me since I'm a retired military officer, so I guess I will take
You'll get a discount. Yeah, you get the Jubilado discount.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Jackie. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 281.
Hey, Jackie. It's John from Tyler. One more time.
I wanted to know since I'm planning on coming back and forth to Panama each year for 4 to 5 months, is it beneficial for me to go ahead and start the process for me to get a visa? I can't move there until an aunt of mine that I'm taking care of passes away. I mean, and she's 91 now. So I don't know when I can move there, but I can come there during the Texas winter months.
I would highly recommend that you go ahead and get your visa, because like everything else, the cost of getting something is only going to go up. So I think that some of the attorneys are even going to lower their prices because just to attract business. So go ahead and get it now. The other big advantage of having your visa are two things. One, you can go ahead and get the discounts for everything. Hold on a second. I got to get a drink. The other thing is once you get your visa and you come into the airport in Panama, they have a special line for residents. You get to go to the front of the line. You don't have to go through that long immigration line.
That sounds perfect to me.
Okay.
Well, that was my question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is Jim in Maryland. Go ahead.
Hi there, and thank you for taking our call and for doing all of this work. We, too, are plowing through our online guide, and I just have to say it's so well done and so well organized. It's very impressive, so thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I wanted to know, and this probably sounds funny, but I know that because of where Panama is geographically, there are essentially shorter days than we're experiencing. We live in Virginia, but I was wondering if it took much time to get used to the 12-hour thing, you know, not having longer days in the summer. I'm a gardener,
yeah.
So I'm curious.
Yeah. We have 12 hours, you know, the sun rises approximately 6:30 every morning. Sunset is about 6:30 every single evening, 365 days a year. So the thing I like about that, Panama doesn't do daylight savings time. And our body doesn't have to always adjust to long or short days. It's always the same all the time. So it's really, I think it's easier on your body to not have to adjust to it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm relishing, except for the fact that it's very hot right now, I relish the longer days in the summer because I like to garden, and so it's nice to have that extra time. But I started thinking about it and wondering, you know, I don't know if I could get used to that. So that's my question.
You can. If I did it, you can do it. So I know you will.
All right. Thank you, Jackie, very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller, Erica 774. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. How are you? It's Jim calling from Massachusetts. Got a quick question for you. In the areas where the rents are higher, is the cost of living also higher?
Yes. This is just an example. In Coronado, where the rents are higher, and Coronado is a great community. It's only about a one-hour drive to get into Panama City, and Coronado area includes San Carlos, Santa Clara, Playa Blanca, Chame, Gorgona. All those are included in the Coronado area. The rents are much higher there than they are in other places, but you've got that beautiful Pacific Ocean to look at also. There's a ton of amenities, lots of shopping, lots of really good restaurants are available. But when you go to the grocery store there, compared to a grocery store in other parts of Panama, things actually cost more. Yeah,
okay.
So some products, they actually cost more.
Yeah, we were thinking about the Azuero Peninsula, and then we saw that beautiful house is coming up for rent in Boca Chica, and started checking that area out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's so many great places. Azora is amazing also, and there's some great rentals there. Best thing to do is come and check them all out and then decide which one you like the best.
That's what we're planning on doing as soon as we can get down there.
As soon as we open up the borders.
We'll be there. All right, Jackie.
All right, thanks. You're welcome. Maxine, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Maxine from Washington, D.C., and I thank you so much for hosting these calls every week. I'm learning so much. This week, I have just a few just really kind of superficial questions, and the first is that I shop online a lot, and I was just wondering how much is the postage very expensive if I, you know, shopped, like, let's say, for example, on eBay in the U.S. and then had it shipped to Panama? You've mentioned Amazon several times, and I was just wondering, what about some of the other online shopping outlets? Is the postage relatively reasonable, or is it very expensive?
It's expensive. So this is how it works. Regardless of where you're shopping, if you want to get packages from another country delivered to Panama, you have to set up an account with one of the mail forwarding companies in Panama, and you do it in the town where you live. So they'll give you an address in Miami, Florida, and that'll be where whatever you order, whether it's eBay or Walmart or JCPenney, if they're still in business, or whatever, then you would have it sent to the Miami address. And some of those things is you can get it real fast sent to Miami. Then it's put on a plane and it's brought to Panama, and then it's taken by truck to the town where you live. They send you an email that says you have a package that came in. The cost to get that package is going to be between $3 and $4 a pound.
Oh.
Yeah. It's expensive. $3 to $4 a pound.
Is that U.S. dollars or what? I mean,
Yep. Panama uses the U.S. dollar, $3 to $4 a pound. So if you bought something that was 3 pounds, you're looking at $12 to get it from there to here.
From Miami to Panama, in addition to whatever the seller charges for postage.
That's why I do Amazon, because then it's free shipping. Free two-day shipping to Miami.
And then you just pay the cost from Miami to Panama, depending on how much it weighs, 2 pounds, three pounds, what have you.
Exactly, yep.
Oh, okay, I'll keep that in mind. So a question about the paperwork for the visas. I'm not sure exactly which one I'm going to need. So my question is there paperwork that I should bring with me from the United States to kind of get the ball rolling while I'm there on the tour? Because I'll return to the United States, but I was just thinking that I would like to kind of get started while I'm there.
Yes. 30 days before your tour, if you're interested in getting a visa, then we'll give you all that information on what you need to get ready. You can get it ready in a couple of weeks, and we show you how to fast track everything. So 30 days before your tour, if you let us know you want to go ahead and get your visa after the tour, then we'll give you the information on how to do all of that.
Oh, okay. All right. And okay.
You wouldn't want to get the documents now. You want to wait until 30 days before your tour to gather the documents.
Okay, got that. So how much are the attorney fees for preparing the visa? Just a ballpark.
Well, the attorney doesn't actually prepare the visa. The attorney prepares all the documents that are necessary for you to apply for a visa. And then the immigration office actually creates your visa card. And it depends on which visa you're going to get. For a pensionado visa, you can figure about $1,500. So if that's the visa you're going to get, it's going to be about $1,500.
Uh-huh. And for the Friendly Nation?
Friendly Nation visa, the attorney fees are about $1,700 plus about $1,000 for a corporation. So a little less than $3,000.
Oh, so if I don't have a corporation, then...
You have to have a corporation to do the Friendly Nation visa.
Okay, so which visa, let's say, for example, I'm going to be working out of my house, self-employed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If you're self-employed, you're working out of your house, and you're not selling any products into Panama or any uh-huh. services into Panama, then you don't need a work permit. And if you qualify, you should just get the pensionado visa. To qualify, you need $1,000 a month in lifetime income, like Social Security or pension from a job.
Uh-huh. I might be selling a service, so, yeah.
Then you would have to have a work permit. Foreigners have to have a work permit to work in Panama.
And I can get that while I'm getting the visa work paperwork together, is that right?
No, it's a three-step process. So for getting a visa, first you get a temporary visa, and then uh-huh. 2 or 3 months later you get your permanent visa. Once you get your permanent visa, then you can apply for the work permit.
All right. But so I would
okay.
have to be living in Panama preparing for the work permit. Is that right? I couldn't do that
no.
in the U.S. I'd have to be in Panama.
No.
Okay.
It's a Panama work permit. Your attorney will do it for you.
I understand. Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All
mm-hmm.
right.
Next caller, area code 507. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Kate again. So when someone arrives in Panama, you're coming for good, you're going to be applying for a visa. Do people, especially if you have a dog, do you stay in an Airbnb while you're looking for a rental? Or how do people normally do that, again, especially with a dog?
Some people stay in an Airbnb. Some of the hotels are pet-friendly, and they just stay in a pet-friendly hotel. You're probably going to be able to find a rental in 3 or 4 days.
Wow. Fantastic. Great.
Okay. Uh-huh. Next caller is Twyla again. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Twyla again. I do have a question. Okay, my husband and I are planning on moving and retiring down there, but my daughter lives with us. She's an adult. She's 20. She'll be 28 in a couple weeks. She's handicapped, and she's going to be living with us down there. What type of visa would she need? A residency visa like us?
Yeah, she'll need a residency visa. Do you think that she'll ever be working in Panama?
She's not capable of working. We're trying
okay.
to get her disability.
Okay, then you could just get the pensionado visa and she can apply as your dependent.
Okay, that sounds good. That's
yeah.
what I needed to know. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Erica 614, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is NJ from Ohio. Quick question. Do you still have seats available that you're holding for folks who were canceled out, like in May? Do you still have seats available?
So for all of the different tours that we have that show sold out,
uh-huh.
We may have some seats available on those, but we cannot fill those seats because we don't know exactly what the rules are going to be on how many people we can have on the bus. So even though we have a 40-passenger bus, if they tell us we can only have 10 people on the bus, then we're not going to be able to do anything. If they tell us we can only have 15 people on the bus, then we may be able to get 2 more people, but we don't know if we're going to be what the rules are going to be yet. So until they release the rules, we just don't know. They might tell us we can have 20 people on the bus, but do we want to have 20 people on the bus? We're not so sure. It just depends on a lot of different things. So we have a big bus and it has a lot of seats in it, but we don't know what the rules and regulations are going to be on how many people can go. I can
okay.
tell you that for anybody that had a tour that was canceled, they're going to get first priority on any seats that are available.
Okay. I was one of those. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And we know everybody that had a tour that was canceled, and you would absolutely get first priority
on any tour that we do have a seat available, but we just don't know at this point what the rules are going to be or what how many seats we'll have available.
I have one more question. Do they have shipping container homes in Panama?
Yes.
Do you know those? They do? What area?
Yeah. I've seen them all over the mostly up in the mountains, not at the beach.
Okay. Great. Okay, thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Next caller is area code 828. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Jackie. I've been enjoying reading your online guide very much. Appreciate that very much, too. Just want to ask you. Yes. Thank you. And your son for all the effort and in producing that product. On the page where you list the recommended websites for looking up rentals, the third one down is entirely in Spanish. And I was wondering, you know, I went on there thinking there might be a button to change it to English, but so far I haven't been able to locate that. I was thinking.
Let me tell you the trick. If you open that up in Chrome, it'll convert the page to English.
Okay.
If you use the Chrome browser, it'll convert it to English for you.
Very good. Thank you so much for the tip.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 954.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Great.
I have two quick questions. One, car insurance, how much does it run there for full coverage?
So I have a 2018 Hyundai Santa Fe that I just bought about 6 months ago, and I paid a little more than $19,000 for it, so I got full coverage on that car because I spent so much money on it. And my insurance, I just renewed it, is $630 a year.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot cheaper than Florida. On the rentals.
I might tell you, I also just renewed my house insurance, and it was $183 for the whole year for my house insurance.
Wow. Is that like full coverage on health insurance?
On house insurance, yeah, for my house insurance, full coverage. It includes if it's broken into, if it catches on fire, all the contents, everything, $183.
Wow. And my other question was, Bukete, the rentals, what do they go for reasonable two? And also, does it include water or is water separate?
So I just did an article not long ago about what my cost of my living expenses were in 2019. And in that article, if you look on our website, you'll find it. In that article, I also put a sample budget on there for a two-bedroom, two-bath house and what's included. Two-bedroom, two-bath house, nothing fancy, but certainly very livable, would be like the house I'm living in, would be about $700 a month. It would be fully furnished. It would include 100 megabits of internet speed, cable TV, water, trash collection, and a weekly gardener.
What's the square footage on something like that, Jack?
It's about 1,200 square feet. If you wanted to go with something bigger, then, of course, it's going to cost a little bit more.
Of course. Okay, thanks very much for the information.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 202.
Hi, Jackie. This is Aisha from Houston. I had a quick question regarding descendants of Panamanian and what paperwork is required. If my grandmother was from Panama, do they grant visas or are you allowed
no.
to have certain jobs?
No.
Okay.
No, you had to have been born in Panama.
You had to be. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Next caller is area code 507.
Hi, Jackie. Kate here again. If one didn't have enough stuff to ship and to use a container, but more than one suitcase, is there an in-between option that's cost-effective?
So there's a couple of different options. One of them is that you could have everything shipped to that mail forwarding company in Miami, like if you had four boxes and ship it that way. But also, in our online guide, we have information about some international movers, and they have several different options, you know, 40-foot container, 20-foot container, but they can also bring a pallet to your house that's like a 6-foot by 6-foot pallet, and you load it up, and then they pick that up and put it on a container and bring it down. So there's several other options depending on what you're going to be bringing.
Fantastic. And I'll be buying the online books this weekend. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, just a quick reminder for those of you on the call. If you get the online guide, if you've already purchased it, or if you buy the online guide before midnight on Monday, in addition to all the great information that's in there, you're also going to get a free 30-minute consultation with me to answer any of your questions that you might not want to ask in public with everybody else listening. So it'll give you a chance for one-on-one consultation with me. So Maxine has our next caller. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Jackie. I wanted to ask, one of the callers just asked about shipping freight containers, and you said that they were located in the north. So how close is that respectively to like Boquete? And that's number one. And number two, are there like designers or construction companies that actually build to suit? Like if I have some ideas, do you know
Sure.
of companies that are actually building them?
So you'd have to work with an architect.
Uh-huh.
It's required by law in Panama that when you want to build something, that an architect has to design the property. But
mm-hmm.
if you just show them some pictures and sketches and have a conversation with them, they're great at bringing your dream into
mm-hmm.
reality. They'll
mm-hmm.
assist with getting the building permit. They'll have some recommendations of builders and all those things for you.
Wow. Are they pretty expensive or are they...
Nope. They're
yeah.
not very much. I bought some additional land back behind my house about
mm-hmm.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my original plan was that I was going to put in some additional rentals because I have my house and two other rentals on my property. And I thought, oh, I'll put in some more rentals because I've been a real estate investor for 30 years. That's just
mm-hmm.
what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually met with an architect and I had a 1,250 square foot house, 2-bedroom, 2-bath house designed. You know, it had the electrical, plumbing, the whole everything, all designed and ready to go. And it was $500 for that service. And I thought that was quite affordable.
You must be kidding me. That's cheap. So, okay, great. So how would one get the shipping containers to the north? I mean...
So there's companies that you can buy shipping containers from because
uh-huh.
we have this little old thing called the Panama Canal here, and there's shipping containers all over the
sure.
place around there.
Absolutely.
So there's,
uh-huh.
there's companies that sell shipping containers, and they deliver it right to your site. For 40
uh-huh.
foot, I believe it's $4,000 to get it delivered and put in place.
A 40-footer for $4,000. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then the architect would be able to kind of gather the workforce to actually
yep.
construct the place, construct the house.
Yep.
Okay.
They could, and they'd be out there every day just about making sure it's all done right.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. So I remember on past calls you mentioned how sometimes you may, you know, because of the cultural differences, the language differences, that, you know, sometimes it's a little confusing doing business with, you know, with locals. So is that the same with respect to local architects or...
No, you just want to make sure you get a lot of good recommendations. And if you just ask around people locally, who do you recommend? The same name
mm-hmm.
or same
uh-huh.
couple of names will come up over and over again, and that's who you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You'll also have some people in private that will say, don't work with this person, so you'll
right.
know who to stay away from.
Uh-huh.
But it'll all work out. You just get recommendations.
Yes, great. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So we just have three more callers. This one is area code 917. Go ahead.
Yes, Jackie, this is Warren. I have a question to ask you regarding a budget for rental housing.
you know, if you had a budget between $1,500 to $2,500 to spend on rentals in the Coronado or in the Vachetti area, what type of housing would be available, you know, for an individual or a family?
So, you know, it depends on what you're looking for. For $2,500, you could get a nice three-bedroom, three-bath house in a gated community with a golf course and a swimming pool and a cantina and a spa and all of those fancy things at $2,500. For $1,500, it would probably not be in a gated community, which you really don't need that anyway. But you could still get a very nice three-bedroom, three-bath house, maybe on an acre of land with bananas and plantains and exquisitely beautiful views.
And what does a housekeeper usually cost, you know, if they come in?
About $30 a day. Housekeepers about $30 a day. Gardeners about $30 a day.
And are there taxes that we have to pay on these individuals that we hire to maintain?
If they,
you know,
if they only work for you less than 3 days, 3 days a week or less, then you don't have to pay into Social Security or any of those things. But if they're full time, then you do have to get signed up for Social Security, and you have to pay taxes. You also have to pay an extra month in December. So there's other things that you have to do if it's a full-time person. You probably wouldn't need a full-time person. Just getting someone to come in a couple times a week is more than enough. And most rentals are going to come with a gardener, so you don't have to pay for the gardener. It'll come with a rental. But many of the rentals will not come with a housekeeper, so you would do that on your side. Once again, it's a situation where you get recommendations of who do you recommend and only go with the recommendations. Next caller is area code 832. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I have a two-part real estate question. And the regards rentals, do you have to pay the rental up front for the period of the term? And when you pay, are you paying cash or can you pay electronically through your bank account? That's the first part. The second part is when it comes time to buying property, what kind of financing options are there for non-resident Panama, like a American citizen?
So whenever you rent a property in Panama, the majority of rentals are going to require a security deposit in the first month's rent. The security deposit is usually equivalent to 1 month's rent, so that'll be required up front. Some landlords have an account in Canada or in the United States, and they would like for you to transfer it there. Most landlords will have a bank account in Panama, and if you also have a bank account in Panama, you can just move money from your bank account to their bank account, and there's no fee. They will not take checks. So if you don't have a bank account to move it, you don't want to pay the wiring fees from North America, then they're going to want cash. So that answers your question about renting. For buying a property, there is financing available, but it's complicated in Panama. They will require, depending on which bank, if you go to a bank to get financing, there's not mortgage companies, it's done at a bank. They want 20 to 30% down. They will send out an appraiser to make sure that the house is what, you know, that you're buying it for a good price. They're also going to require a life insurance policy that's at least for the amount of the mortgage, naming them as the beneficiary just in case you die before you pay them off. But here's the big, big problem with getting financing here, and that is that all mortgages have to be paid off by the time you turn 70.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So what's the plan B, you might ask? So the plan B is that you can very, very often, and especially in the market that we're in right now where it's a buyer's market, you can usually negotiate that you'll buy a property with seller financing. So you might pay that 20% down to the seller, and then you buy that, and then you make payments to them. And they, some of them will want a balloon where it's paid off in 5 years or 10 years. Other ones say, no, I want to keep that money coming in until it's completely paid off. They'd rather have the cash flow. I've helped hundreds of our tour clients buy homes with seller financing, and we don't even mention that dirty little word called interest, so we don't pay interest.
Wow. That sounds ideal.
Okay. That's
cool.
Much
Thank
better
you.
Than getting banks, much better than bank financing.
Right. Cool. Thanks for your help and everything you do.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 306. And then I have one more call after this one. We're going to call it a night. Area code 306, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I had was in Fort Worth that had a tour booked in March that got canceled. And I rebooked for September, and it looks like that might be canceled also. My question to you is...
I think September's going to happen.
Do you? Oh, well, that's very positive. Okay, excited about that. If it doesn't go through, my question was, is what phase are your tour groups in for reopening for Panama? That might have been answered before because I tuned in late. But your phases for reopening?
So, so right now we're scheduled to reopen on July 23rd. But they've told us dates before, and then a week before they say, no, we're not going to do it. It's going to be later. So currently the airport and the borders are supposed to open up on July 23rd. Honestly, in my opinion, I think they're going to move it to August. But maybe not. I might be wrong.
Right.
But the other big problem is even if they do open up on July 23rd, they haven't told us what the rules are going to be. So if the rules are going to be everybody has to go into 14-day quarantine when they get here, we still can't do tours. They might say only people that already have a visa and are Panamanian can come into the country, and then we still can't do tours. So until we know more, we can't say for sure when we're going to do tours. But I think if it doesn't open up in July, it'll surely open up in August, which means your September tour would be fine.
Right. Okay. So, because that creates a problem because it's a two-week quarantine to get into Panama, and then when I go back home, it's a two-week quarantine when I get back home,
We can't do that. So we'll just have
to wait and see. And that's fine. Absolutely. And my other quick question is about these visas. My husband and I would apply for the Friendly Nations visa. I understand we need to incorporate, but can we incorporate both of us under one corporation, or do we each have to have a separate one?
No, we can each share a corporation.
We can share a corporation. Okay, perfect. Those are my two questions. I will wait and see what happens. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you're doing. Okay.
As soon as I know more, I'll send out an email to everybody to let you know more.
Great. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. And our last caller for the day is Elaine. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi there. My name is Elaine. I'm calling from Canada. My husband and I are looking to move to Bocas and have a long-term rental. Just wondering what the long-term rental prices are like in Bocas Town. I heard it's difficult to get a long-term rental. And also, just wondering if we need renters in chance.
So it's very easy to get a long-term renter. Landlords prefer a long-term rental. A long-term rental here is at least 6 months. Or a year, but getting it more than a year, you wouldn't want to do that anyway. You want to live in the house for at least 6 months before you decide to renew for maybe a year and just wait and make sure you like the weather and the neighbors and all kinds of other things. It's very easy to get a long-term rental here. And no, really not necessary to get renter's insurance, but if you want to get it, I think it's $30 or $40 a year. So it's not that much if you wanted to go ahead and get it.
Okay. And what are the prices like in Bocas Town?
So on the low end, you can get a one bedroom for about $200 a month, all furnished, all bills paid. On the high end, you can get a really fancy house for $5,000 or $6,000 a month and everything in the middle. So they're all over the place.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I want to, that's the last of our Q&A. So I want to thank everybody so much for being on the conference call today. We got in a lot of questions and a lot of answers. So if for some reason you didn't get to ask your question, you can always send an email to info@panamarelocationtours.com, and we'll be glad to answer your question via email. Also, I just want to remind you that we're doing a super special on our online Panama Relocation Guide. If you go to our website at Panama Relocation Tours and you look on the very top where it says Online Guide, and if you click on that, it has more information about it. Basically, it's all the very same information that you would get on a Panama Relocation Tour, but it's an online format. So anybody that purchases that before midnight on Monday, you get a free 30-minute consultation with me to privately ask me your questions, and I can give you advice on what to do or what not to do. So once again, happy Independence Day to everybody that's in the United States. I hope you have a great weekend, the rest of the weekend, and thank you so much for being on the call tonight. Good night, everybody.